Isaiah 55, verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. I'm going to stop here with verse 3, and this is a wonderful scripture in the Word of God that tells us that the gospel can't be sold, and it is offered without any price whatsoever. Come, and you don't have to have a dime. You can come, and you can buy. And you might say, well, preacher, if you come and you buy, and you don't have any money, what are you buying with? Well, it's a blood-bought privilege is what it is. Amen. Jesus paid the price. Amen. So that all of us could be saved. And that's what buys our salvation. That's what buys forgiveness, is the precious blood of Jesus that he shed as he suffered up there on the cross of Calvary. I thought about some of this. Yesterday I went to the Red Creek Association, and I heard a man bring the devotion, and he didn't preach what I'm preaching at all. But he did say something that sort of got my mind going down this route and gave me some thoughts this morning. And I've tried to come up with a way, ask the Lord to help me to preach what's on my heart, and to try to do it in a way that would be pleasing to him. I know the gospel is not for sale. And even though here we find that you don't have to have a dime, but we still come, and we, when we come on the basis of Jesus and what he's done for us, solely by faith, by the grace of God, he'll save our soul. It doesn't cost us a thing. It cost him everything. But I thought about sometimes, the word sell is used, and it's not always used when you have a monetary transaction. If something is a hard sell, that means it's hard to get over, doesn't it? And if you're going to sell somebody a bill of goods, if you've ever heard that little saying, that just means that you're trying to get something over on them. You're not telling them the truth. I'd like to look at some things that would make the gospel a hard sell. And I don't mean that you sell it, and I don't even mean that we're salesmen. We need to be servants instead of just salesmen. I think a lot of Baptist churches even today have went to the salesman method of trying to get people to join the church. Joining the church is not what we're after. Amen. We're after people to be saved. Amen. And then to continue them in their Christian walk. Certainly, we want them to join the church. But I'm not a high-pressure salesman. I don't believe in just having a lot of sales tactics. But you know, there's some things that in the world, in the consumer world, that would make it very hard to make a sale. And I'd like to look at that for a minute and then look at the other side. First of all, if you don't own what you're trying to sell me, that might be sort of a hard sale. If you're trying to sell me a Ford and you don't like Fords and you got a Chevrolet, then that might be a little bit hard to do. I think if you're going to try to push something on someone else and you want somebody else to have something, I think that it'd be good if you had it. I think it'd be good if you know, you was the one that had it. It's just like, my son works for Overhead Door and he loves it. It's a big part of his life. But if he didn't, and he put a door in for me. And you know what kind of door he put in? One that he sells. One that they sell. He didn't go somewhere and get something different. He owns, in other words, I own what he works on. And that leads me to the next thing. If you don't believe in what you're offering people, how in the world are you going to be effective in trying to get somebody else to follow what you're doing if you don't believe in it? A person needs to believe in what they're doing. Another thing that affects all of us, and every one of us can probably tell a story about this, is if you don't care if you sell something or not, if you're working for somebody and you don't really care whether you even do the job or not, you're just there to get a paycheck, that's not going to be very effective, is it? I'm going to tell you what I'll do, and I'll tell you what I have done. I'll turn around and walk out and go somewhere else. If I'm going to buy something, I want something that somebody cares a little enough to actually want to do their job. I'd rather go somewhere and pay a little bit more for somebody that has, that kind of attitude. I just don't like dealing with somebody that's got a bad attitude. Do you? I know we all have bad days. I've had them. And I understand that. But, you've been in places and try to go and find something, and people don't even care whether they're happy or not. They don't even care. Man, I just want to leave when that kind of stuff, when that happens. We went somewhere, Ted wanted to go somewhere and eat the other night. And we went in there and we waited and we waited and we waited. And I can actually, I used to wouldn't wait, but I can wait to get in somewhere to eat. That doesn't bother me too bad. But I tell you what, they ignored us. There's people that had the same amount we did that went in there. And they just seated all of them before us. And, Ted mentioned it a time or two. And they just, apologized and said this, that, and other. Never did any different. So after a little while, he said, "Daddy, get up. We're going to go across the road and eat." And I said, "That's fine with me. I've been ready to go for a little while myself." But I wouldn't do that because it was with him. But, he said he would never go back there. And, that was just kind of bad on their part. So if you don't care where you sell it or not, you don't care where you help anybody or not, you're not going to do too well. Another thing, if what you got is not recommended by other people, then that's going to be a hard sell. If what you got's not recommended, I've got in my life to where before I buy something, I've probably talked to some other people about what I'm going to buy, don't you? If you're going to go spend a bunch of money, I want to know a little bit more about how people feel about it. Just got one. And so you talk to them. And so, if what you're trying to sell and what you're trying to offer people is not recommended by other people, that's going to make it kind of hard, isn't it? Another thing is that, one thing that helps people when someone buys some kind of product, then that's not the end of it. They got good customer care. They follow up with their customer. And after you get it, you can get it worked on. Boy, I'm going to tell you, we're living in a time now to where when you try to get customer care, number one, a lot of times it's almost impossible to get a human being. And that just aggravates me. And then I'm not being ugly or racist or anything else, but you get on the phone with somebody, you can't even understand what they say. They're in the Philippines. Got nothing. I love people from the Philippines, and I don't have a thing against Indian folk, but I'm not talking about American Indians. Get on there and then, they're in India. And, I want to get somebody that I can talk to, that I can understand. And what would be wonderful is to be able to get somebody you can actually go and look at and get some answers. Wouldn't that be good to have somebody that you could talk to direct? All those things to me matter, and they make things very hard to sell if that is the case. Also, you know, the product. What kind of product do you have? Well, again, I'm not saying that we sell the gospel. I'm not saying that we're supposed to be high pressure salesmen. Just the contrary. Before I get through, I'm going to tell you the most important thing in trying to win people to Christ. But on the flip side of this, he said, "Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." This is the product that we have as saved people. This is what we're offering. Listen to what we're offering. And how could it be any better than this? How could you have a better product than what I'm trying to preach about here this morning? Listen. "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not?" I'm going to tell you what we have here at this church. The gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ is the salvation of the world, will satisfy people that there's nothing else that can satisfy. Amen. Nothing will fill that void in a person's life. Amen. And people are trying to fill it with everything else in the world today. They're trying to dump everything in a big old hole. And they're throwing the world in there. And I'm going to tell you, it'll never fill you up. It'll never satisfy you. The world never, ever will. Only the truth. "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm preaching this morning, what I'm offering, what this church, what these members are offering you this morning if you're lost. It will, not only will it satisfy you, it'll satisfy you like fatness. Now, these people didn't have a lot of fat in their diet. And when they could get it, they were really satisfied. You ever been on a diet and you eat lettuce and cabbage and lettuce and some more cabbage and maybe some beets and stuff like that? And you know, every once in a while, you just got to go get a double meat quarter pounder. You know, or something like that. You got to get a steak. There's nothing that'll really satisfy you like a little bit of fat once in a while. And I guess that's my problem. I've tried to do a little better, and to a certain extent I have. But sometimes there's something that nothing else will satisfy. There's nothing that'll satisfy your soul except the Lord this morning. Nothing. There's nothing, if you're saved, that'll satisfy you like a relationship that you're walking in the Spirit with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're saved and you're not satisfied with your life, God will satisfy you. You need to get fixed. You need to get right. And listen to this. Listen to what we're offering this morning. He said, "Incline your ear and come unto me." This is God offering this to you here, and your soul shall live, and I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. If you listen to what God's saying this morning, he said, "I'll make you an everlasting covenant. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." When you trust the Lord, you enter into the covenant with him, and he said it's everlasting. It's God's promise. It's not you promising God. You can't promise God nothing. You can't keep a promise if God doesn't allow you to. But God said, "I'll promise you, if you'll hear me, I'll give you an everlasting covenant." Everlasting. That's what we're offering this morning. Now listen, here's what we need to be able to offer it in a way that will make a difference. Number one, we have to believe in what we're offering. Did you know if you're lost, you can't lead people to Christ? You need him yourself first if you're lost. Now, we all know that. But let me tell you something else. If you're not sure about your own salvation, you can't lead anybody to Christ either. The only way that you can offer somebody what they need spiritually is if you are on firm ground. You can't get in your hole. You can't be in your hole with them and help them out. I got caved in one time, and I was about up to here, and I couldn't get out. My boys got down in your hole and tried to dig me out, but they were bogging down too. It was bad. And I told them just to get out. You know the only way I got out? They went and got a big machine and dug me out. That machine was on good, dry, stable ground. You couldn't get up there around that hole. The little machine I had, you couldn't get, you know, you just couldn't do it because you had to get too close to the hole and it wasn't stable. So they got a big one and reached way out there and dug me out. And I'm here this morning by the mercy of God, physically and spiritually. Now listen, you can't help somebody out if you're in the hole with them. You got to be outside the hole. And you got to be saved, and you got to know you're saved. You have to be on firm ground. And I know whenever you trust Christ, you're on the rock. But listen, if you're in the world, you're tangled up with the cares and the affairs of this world. The Bible said a good soldier doesn't entangle himself with the cares of this world. And we all do that from time to time. But to be effective in offering what we're supposed to offer people, we need to believe in what we're offering too, don't we? We need to have it. And we need to believe in it. Amen. Well, I believe it's good. And I believe it's the answer to all your troubles this morning. I'm not telling you if you get saved that you won't have no more trouble. I'm not telling you if you get saved it'll fix everything in your life. But oh, if you get saved, it'll give you a basis to work from. Amen. That you can overcome anything that comes your way. Also, we need to be motivated when we offer the Lord. If you could care less, you're not going to help anybody. But you know what people need to see in our life? They need to see us care, be motivated. I don't want to call company names, but I went into building supply here a while back. And I don't know, to me it's just deteriorating. You get in there and you can't get anybody to help you. And you know, I'm glad I didn't just quit because I went home without what I needed. I went to another place they had. Where am I going to go next time, you think? I'm going to go over there where I got some help. You know what? They need the lost in this world need to see us. And listen, what we need to be motivated by is love. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 13, "By this shall all men know you are my disciples, by the love you have one to another." If people don't see me love Brother Charles and love Brother Jackie and love Brother Dale, then how in the world do they think I'm going to love them? But listen, when people can see that y'all and me and you all love one another, that means something. And I do. I love this church. I love all of you. I'm sorry for being sorry. And I've asked God to forgive me for the wrong in my life and just, you know, being Bill Mars. I'm going to be Christ. But you know, y'all love me. And I listened in on the way up here this morning. I want to see what the sound quality sounded like. But I also heard y'all pray for me.
Yeah.
I knew you did. Y'all love me, didn't you? Somebody asked me the other day, "How you like Ian?" And I said, "I love them. And they love me." And I'd be here and try to be what I should be, even if you didn't. But, you know, I see you love one another. And when lost people see that, that's what they need to see.
Amen.
They need to see us love one another. Motivate. I'm going to tell you, if we don't care about each other, they're probably going to think, well, they ain't going to care much about me. We got a good product, don't we? Man, I'm going to tell you, salvation. What's it mean to you? And you know, the world needs to see that we're happy with it. The world needs to see just how much it means. And let me tell you how you show if you're happy with something, to be thankful. That's how you can tell. And you know, if we're thankful for something, boy, I tell you, if people hear us all the time say, man, I am thankful for so-and-so. Boy, I'm thankful that this is in my life. You know, that might make them want some of it themselves. Amen. I got some peas the other day, and I tell you, that man, them things fine. Miss Abby cooked them and put some okra in them, and I thank the Lord for them, and every time I eat them, I'm sure she knows now that I like that, because I've eaten them. It was a big bunch of them, and I've eaten them about 4 or 5 times, and I've told her every time, man, I think that's some of the best peas I've ever eaten in my life. Well, if you could hear all that, you'd probably want some of them peas. I might have y'all hungry right now. I've got bad news for you. You can't come with me tonight and eat them because I don't have enough. You know, if we are thankful for salvation and thankful for Jesus, that might make somebody else say, boy, I tell you, I need what they got. And follow up. Customer care. We all know what the Great Commission says, don't we? We hear about going to all the world, teaching the gospel, baptizing those that believe in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But that's not when you get through. We want people to be saved, and we want them to come to the church. But let me tell you, there's another step, he said, what? And teaching them to obey to all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'll be with you all the way, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You know, we don't want you to, we want you to get saved. But we want you to do the next step. And that's follow the Lord in discipleship. That's be baptized in your church. But you know, then it's on us. These people that we've baptized and these folks that's come in by letter and whoever they are, it's impending on us. We have to teach them everything that the Lord commanded. We need to teach them about the doctrines of the church. Amen. That leads me to something else. The scripture said to adorn the doctrines of God. How do you adorn something? Well, it means to fix. It means to fix something like a woman fixes her hair. She adorns herself. And all of you look nice today. You know, I know you could come in dirty clothes. I'd still preach to you. Be glad you're here. Mm-hmm. If you can, it's nice to come and respect the Lord. My mother-in-law, she always had the prettiest hair. She fixed it so nice. She lost her hair through chemo. But she got a wig, and I'll be honest with you, you could never tell. I mean, if I didn't know personally, I'd have never knew that she lost her hair. It just always looked so nice. She always looked nice. She adorned herself. And how do you adorn the doctrines? How do you do that? It's not that you got to dress them up, because they're good. But when you live like you should live, that makes the Christian walk look attractive to people that don't have it. grumbling and griping and complaining, then adorn the doctrines. The Bible said for the older men to be sober and to be righteous and to be grave. Said for the older men. I said old women. I said older women. Women that have children. Women that have grandchildren. Said for them to teach. For them to be grave too. And you know, for them to teach the younger women to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. So that the Word of God is not blasphemed. For young men to be a good pattern for everyone else. And he said, and to adorn the doctrine of God. The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 3 about a woman. Said for her, not to let it be the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, the wearing of gold, the wearing of apparel. And he wasn't teaching against those things. Certainly, he wasn't teaching against wearing apparel, was he? I want you to wear clothes, plenty of them. But he was saying, don't try to impress your husband in that way. But he said, let it be the inward adorning of a heart that's trusting the Lord and surrendered. Amen. Let it be that inward adorning. You know what? How we adorn the doctrine. You know how, and this is what I'm trying to say, people that's lost need to look at us and they need to want what we have. Let me tell you something. It's a hard sell to get people to come to your church if all they hear is you gripe about the church. Amen. That's a hard sell. I ain't coming. I won't go someplace you ain't happy. I'm going to tell you what. Somebody says, well, we went to that restaurant and we waited an hour and it wasn't no good when we got it. That ain't going to make me want to run, jump up, and go down there, to be honest with you. Somebody said, boy, I eat there. That's the best food I ever eat in my life. I'm just going to have to go try it out if I can come up with enough money to go eat there. That's adorning. You know what you want to do? You want to adorn Enon Church. It's a good church and you don't have to put on a show. Just be what we ought to be. When people come, and I'm saying, I know you are, but show them love. Show them compassion. And let me tell you this, and this is, I'll close after this. It's not just going and all knocking on doors and meeting people for the first time. And that, I'm telling you, I'm not saying against that. But that isn't how most people get saved. You know how most people get saved? Relationships. That's how most people trust the Lord, is through a relationship with somebody else. You know what Romans said, Romans chapter 1? For the righteousness of God is from faith unto faith. And then it said, the just shall live by faith. Hosea said, the just shall live by his faith. When people see you and me live the faith that we proclaim, live what we believe. You know what? Somebody said, boy, I'm a landmark missionary Baptist. I'm a faith way, feet washing, and it don't never come to the Lord's Supper. Amen. You're not a feet washing Baptist if you don't wash feet. We do that, what, one time a year? How hard is that to schedule? I might not can tell you where it is, but I tell you what, I guarantee you Brother Glendale can tell you when it is. He knows. He ain't the only one. I bet your Brother Jackie can tell you when it is. We try to announce it. What I'm saying is, if we believe it, we'll live it. If we say we believe it and we don't live it, that's not going to help people. Amen. And I know, hey, look, we all going to make mistakes and we all going to stumble. But you know, there ain't nobody in your world that doesn't. And people will understand if you own up to it and you do what's right, repent, get things fixed. But this morning, I hope this could be a blessing to you if you're lost. Amen. You need what I got and what all these other people have. And let me tell you something. You've had and have some wonderful examples in this building. Amen. These people gone on to be with the Lord. It's been wonderful examples. And there's people that's still here. Amen. I could point to them right now. That's been an example for longer than I've been saved. And we have young people. I don't want to leave the young people out, Brother Mike. We have young people that love the Lord too. Did you know that? So, I don't believe it's a hard sell at this church. But you got to believe it. You got to want it. You got to trust the Lord in order to be saved. Amen. I pray your pastor would behave himself in a way that would other people would want to be saved. Amen. Pray for me and my wife. Let's pray for each other. Amen. And pray for them that are lost. We'll have a verse for someone. Amen.